Hey, no problem. We've got plenty of time. Although I saw that a couple of you were double parked. Okay, where are we? You know, usually I start a different way. But this morning, I want to dive right into this. Maybe after I have a sip of water, and then I'll dive right into it. Our second scripture reading this morning is from one of Paul's letters. It's actually his letter to the Romans. And we're going to be looking specifically at just a few verses at the beginning of chapter 5. But to put it in a little bit of context, in the previous chapter, Paul writes about God's call to Abraham and his promise to make him the father of all nations. That's how it's worded in the Bible, that God promises to make Abraham the father of all nations. Now, this comes as quite a surprise, maybe a shock to Abraham. Abraham is 100 years old when God calls him, and his wife has never been able to have a child. Nevertheless, Abraham steps up, steps out with the faith that he has. I don't think it was an extraordinary faith. It was just the faith he had. And he stepped up and he stepped out. And in that stepping up and stepping out, his faith grew as he intentionally, as Kate was talking about, as he intentionally drew closer to God. And surely there must have been some missteps, don't you think, or some stumbles along the way, but Abraham's growing faith enabled him to be confident that God would do what he promised to do. And so he did. And I share this with you this morning because we need it, I believe, as a grounding, Abraham's faithfulness, an example to all of us that are being called, and all of us are being called. With that background, I invite you to listen to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, now this next part is going to seem weird, but I'll unpack it a little later. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope doesn't disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which is given to everyone. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. So I'd like to explore this Romans passage for the purpose of shedding more light on the parable of the prodigal son. And before we move more into that, I want to just say something briefly about that word boast. You know, it comes up twice in just five verses, so you're kind of going, we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God, and we boast in our suffering, which is, maybe not. So this word boast can put people off, because I think from an early age, maybe we're taught, don't brag, don't boast. And so it would have had a little different context in in Paul's age when he was first sending this letter out to the people in Romans, in Rome. And part of the difficulty, I think, for us is that our understanding of the word boast is kind of limited to sort of self-advertisement, you know, beating our own drum, beating our own chest. But Paul intends kind of a larger significance with his use of boast. It has to do with what I'm calling grounds for confidence. Grounds for confidence. I'm hoping before you leave, you'll all get a little more of it. Grounds for confidence. Because it is from that ground of confidence that we draw hope. And is there anyone here today that would like a little more hope? And maybe like to see a little more hope in our country, in our communities, in our schools, in our world? A little more hope. A little more hope. Okay. So when Paul is using the word boast, think of it as a kind of celebrating, maybe celebrating that comes from being grateful. So this kind of boasting is a thanksgiving. And Paul says this: what could not be obtained through the Old Testament, you know, the Old Testament rules and regulations, namely a secure confidence in being, all of us being God's people, changes in the New Testament. In the New Testament, what is available to everyone is being the people of God confidently through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So that may or may not, I can't tell from the faces, that may or may not have opened up your understanding of boast a little bit. And as I move on, I hope it'll become even clearer. So how are the Romans passage and the parable of the prodigal son and his older brother, how are they connected? Well, the core of the connection is in those two verses right in the middle of the Romans passage. Let me read them again. It's got that word boast in it. So listen. We boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Suffering produces endurance. Some translations use the word patience instead of endurance. Some translations use the word perseverance. But I think whatever the word is, you're kind of getting the point. You hang in there. You don't give up. Then endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This process, kind of a chain reaction, but many of us know that it's not necessarily a given chain reaction, because some people get hung up in the endurance. Some people get hung up in the suffering. God is there, and the Holy Spirit is there to keep us moving through the suffering, to the endurance, to the character building, to the hope. So the prodigal son, before he was the prodigal son, I believe was just kind of an ordinary. He's like us. He was an ordinary, well cared for, and privileged son. A son with few needs and probably not very many wants either. He had a home, money, servants, and a loving family. Quite a nice life from the looks of things. But he decides, as you know, he decides to leave the comforts of home by asking his father for his inheritance and travels to another country to experience more of life. And experience life he does. He lives it up. He has a great time. He also runs through all of his money and all of his resources, and he's left with nothing and really no relationships in a foreign, strange land. So he has to look for work. You've heard this, right? He has to look for work, and the only job available to him is that of pig feeder. Imagine this. He's a Jewish guy. He's feeding pigs. So that's kind of scraping down in the bottom of the barrel. For the first time in his life, he's caught in the grips of suffering. He's hungry. He's homeless. He's lonely. While the pigs eat their fill, his stomach growls. He wishes he could eat some of that pig food. And here comes the turning point. Interestingly and importantly, the parable tells us in these exact words, he came to himself. He looked at himself and he saw his situation for what it was. And in his suffering, he seemed determined to endure. And in that determination to endure, he saw himself and part of who he was, a son. In coming to himself, he remembered where he came from. Do you see the beginning here of the development of character in the coming to himself? Perhaps the development of an identity, an identity that perhaps did not exist when he asked so brashly for his inheritance from his father. So he continues to endure out of his suffering by making a change, to go home to tell his father, I'm sorry, I want to be your servant, I want to begin to make amends. So he sets out for home, eager, but probably also anxious about how his plan will be received. But even by the time he has made this decision, he is already a changed man. He's grown through and because of his suffering, and through his endurance, he is developing character. One might say he's developing an identity, grounds for confidence. His suffering produced endurance, and his endurance produced character. But we are not done. The Romans passage tells us character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. So with this newfound sense of self, the prodigal son heads for home. But before he gets home, this hope comes barreling down the road towards him, grabs him, embraces him, and kisses him. That is his father, who has never forgotten his son, who has always been watching, waiting for him to come home. The son blurts out his confession and plan penance, which I believe is important for the character building of the son, even though his father's great enthusiasm for his son's return has already raced ahead, arranging for a homecoming party like he'll never be able to imagine, only experience. The prodigal son is swept up in his father's extravagant love for him, far more than he could ever reason or imagine or hope for. Such is God's love for us. You hear that time and time again. So today, I'm inviting you to hear something more. We've heard that God gave his son, Jesus, to live and die and be raised from the dead for us. And certainly we see the hope in that. And I believe we sharpen our focus for seeing this every day, this hope, and to live as people of hope when we continue to build our character, our Christian character, that is growing, continuing to grow into the likeness of Christ. That's part of what we're charged to do, to grow degree by degree into the likeness of Christ and into the person who God created each and every one of us to be. And we do that by sticking close to God, where we find and are reassured of our true identity. Not just that God loves us and wants to give us everything, but that we love God and want to give God everything. God wants us to keep going, to endure, not just because endurance is a good thing, but because there's a mighty purpose behind that endurance. The purpose of suffering and endurance is to produce character, which in turn produces hope. We will have suffering, Jesus promises in John 15:33, in the world there is tribulation, as if anyone needed to be reminded. And we can endure, we can push through, and we come to ourselves so that our enduring will build character and character will produce hope. Hope that does not disappoint. Not a wishful thinking kind of hope, but hope that is grounds for confidence. Remember that, grounds for confidence. Just as Abraham was in the day-to-day, hour-to-hour presence with God, and we with God. And in that, we boast without any shame. But what about the older brother? You know, it's the parable of the prodigal son and his brother. The older brother stays home, living and working with his father, never really leaving the comforts of home. As the story goes, he's mad when he hears that his father is throwing this big homecoming party for his brother, and he refuses. He refuses to go. His father pleads with him to come. His father pleads and assures him of his identity and that all that he has is his, saying, "Son, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. You're my son. That's who you are. This is all yours. That's who you are." But when the parable ends, the older son appears unmoved. What do we make of that older son's resistance? The older son thought he knew who he was. He was the obedient, good son. He played it safe, staying home. But in many ways, he appears to be in greater danger than his prodigal brother. He seemingly limited his opportunities for suffering and therefore has few and perhaps even shallow opportunities for endurance. He does not seem to know who he is. He has a shell of a character and as a result, shallow hope. Oh yes, the older brother is confident. Very, very confident in what he has done. He lacks confidence in who he is. We get so tied up in what we do that we forget, we lose sight of who we are, which is often more important than what we have done. So the older son's confusion about trying to put his identity into what he's done rather than who he is evident in his response to his father's homecoming and his father's party. He has no hope that anything good could come of either. Why would that be? And yet, I am hopeful for the older brother. You could just say, well, Carol, it's just that pastoral care stuff in you. But I see in that older brother at the end of the parable, and I think of Romans, there are possibilities there for the older brother, possibilities for enduring and for character building. In the suffering, he is certainly beginning to suffer. At the end, we see it in his response. The suffering that he's experiencing from his brother's return and his father's prodigious love and forgiveness. He has opportunities. What he will do with them, we do not know. We do know that character building, building our character, the character of each one of us, which builds the character of this church into the likeness of Christ, is an ongoing process, ongoing. We can participate or not. We can stop here, we can move a little more, and we can stop here. But it's ongoing. Suffering, endurance, character building, hope. It's our choice. But be assured that our participation will influence the character that we develop, and the character we develop will influence our hope, both for now and for everything else that's coming. So let me just leave you with this. Like Abraham, we are called to model communities, families, and personal lives in which the sequence of faith and peace and suffering and character and hope is lived out, sustained by the Holy Spirit's work of enabling us to know, to celebrate, to boast of God's love, and maybe even more importantly, our love for God. Amen.